Were you
And
excited to be going to Britain?
well,
Were you
yes, I was
worried about
glad.
it?
Well, sure, I was worried because I didn't have a clue what was going on. And Donald hadn't told me quite the truth either. He had said, "Oh, we're going to be on a farm and everything will be fine, you know." And then it turned out that wasn't really true. His parents were in Glasgow, and he didn't like to tell me that. And later on, I understood why. But at that time, I couldn't understand why he would be telling me something that wasn't true. But then, so that kind of put the kibosh on it a bit. But anyway, we got into Liverpool, and well, I thought Liverpool was lovely. You know, the red fences, the white houses, the green grass. I said, what a lovely place this is, you know, very nice. But what was waiting for us? And me, of course, in the first few weeks of pregnancy, and you know, I don't think I felt that well. Anyway, we got on the train and we got to Glasgow, and there was Donald's father and mother at the station waiting for us. And I couldn't understand a word of what his father was saying because he was an Aberdonian. And of course, he spoke with a very, very heavy accent. So, and then his mother was okay. I could hear what she was saying. But I thought to myself, well, what are these people thinking who I am? You know, they'd probably never seen a Jew in their life. And so that wasn't very good.
And do you think they
But,
were worried for their son bringing this?
well, they were very glad to see him, I'm sure, you know. Come back from the war, and you know, and he brought this girl, which they didn't know anything about, except that she was originally German. Jewish didn't mean anything to them much, I didn't think. So it was very odd, really. But I must say, they were wonderful when I think back on it, you know, how they accepted me. Anyway, we went to their place, and that again, I mean, they lived in a very working class area of Glasgow, which I wasn't used to. I mean, I was used to kind of not posh, but middle class. And theirs was definitely not middle class, but very working class.
And is that why Donald had not
But
told you
yeah, no, I
that?
think that's right. Anyway, in Glasgow, he seemed to know everybody. I said, how come you know everybody? You know, we'd go out in the street, oh, Donald, it's you, like blah, blah, blah. And it turned out because he was a Glasgow Blue, you know what that means?
No.
That means that you've excelled in some sport. And Donald was a runner. And he was really well known in Glasgow because he was top-notch runner. Well, I didn't understand that really very well, but anyway, so he wanted to introduce me to all sorts of friends, and some were more friendly than others, you know, and there were quite a few who understood exactly where I came from and who I was, and others didn't have a clue. And the other thing was, of course, there wasn't any food then. There was rationing. And I was used to the flesh pots, you know. We never had much rationing. One egg a fortnight, I think it was.
And unlike Liverpool, you weren't very impressed with Glasgow
No,
then.
I was not impressed with Glasgow at all. But, you know, what could I do anyway? And I had a very nice sister-in-law who, she was very nice to me, and she had two children, one of whom I still am in touch with. She lives in Glasgow. And, well, actually her brother too, I still know.
And did you
And
live with your parents-in-law?
yes, we had to. There wasn't anywhere else to go, really. Yeah. And they made us very, I mean, for them it was very welcoming. You know, they were fine, really. It just me, it struck as being very odd. So we stayed with them, and of course, there was clothes rationing, and Donald insisted buying me maternity clothes, and I wasn't very happy about that. And we had to go out to, it was Fuller's tea room every day because I was so hungry. And in Fuller's, it wasn't rationed. You could have cakes and scones and things. So we went every day, we went to Fuller's to eat.
And did Donald have a job at this point?
Well, no, because he'd left the British Council and he was looking for work. And he was very interested in the Food and Agricultural Organization, but couldn't get a job there. And he had a lot of high-ranking friends, you know, who would look for him, but nothing turned up, really. And in the meantime, I was getting nearer and nearer the child's birth. And he said, well, never worry, we'll just have to go to Arran, to the country, you know, and I'll be able to work there in the farm. I said, okay. But in the meantime, of course, I had to have this child. And he took me to the most expensive gynecologist in Glasgow because that was an old friend of his. And the baby was born under a full anesthetic. I don't remember a thing about the birth because this was such a posh gynecologist. And then I said, well, wait a minute. And I had always friends in London because, you know, old friends from Germany and my mother's friends and family, because a lot of my family were in England. So I could always go to London and kind of escape. I said, wait a minute, my Turkish is perfect. I'll apply to the BBC for a job, you know, get a job as somebody there. And I was having this baby, and I wrote to the BBC, and they said, oh, yes, come at once. We need somebody very badly, you know. And I said, well, I'll have to tell them the truth. How can I go with a baby that's just 2 weeks old? I really can't do it. So that was a bit of a washout, but at least I felt, well, I could be used somewhere. And had to say, no, I can't do it, you know. And then we went to Arran. And these friends of Donald's, who owned a big farm in Arran, were very, very good to us. They took us in, and we lived with them for Kirstine to sort of get out of the very first baby stage. And oh, they were very good. And of course, there was more food, you know. There was an egg almost every day and porridge. I had to learn to eat porridge. But there was plenty of food, really, cream and everything, you know.
And did they accept that?
They were more accepting. Well, I think they did understand it a bit better, you know, who I was and what I was. And in any case, they were very, very kind to me, very kind. And they had a land girl and children about the same age as me, so it was much more interesting for me. And eventually we lived in a cottage there with a little old lady who thought I was very strange that I didn't know anything about how to light the Rayburn cooker and a lot of difficulties, but in spite of that. And the doctor, he was awful. I said, well, I'll have to get Kirstine vaccinated. You know, they'd never heard of this, I don't think. I said, I want to vaccinate, and he gave her a great big thing, and I kind of argued with him. But I got very friendly with the butcher's wife. She was a very nice lady, and she had a child about the same age as Kirstine. So, you know, I made friends.
Did you feel any desire to find out if there were other people similar to you in anywhere
not
in Scotland?
Not at all. I just tried to fit in the best I could, really. Well, what else? And then the British Council said, well, you could come back to us if you're willing to go to, and what did they call it? Groningen, I think. We said, what's Groningen? Where's Groningen? And it turns out, of course, Groningen is in Holland, but that wasn't what they meant. They said Göttingen.
In Germany.
Yeah, in Germany. And so we said, okay. So that's when we went to Germany.
And were you
and
quite
that
happy
was,
to
of
do
course,
that?
Strange for me,
yes.
You know, because I thought, well, it's pretty close. The war is only just finished, and it's strange that they should want to send me there, having been a German originally. And they said, oh, it doesn't matter. And of course, in those days, you see, you were more part of the army than of your own.
So you, were you going as part of the military,
so,
rather than the British
well,
Council?
No, British Council. It was definitely the British Council. But but we did all the, but we got all the facilities that the military had. I mean,
see.
Like housing and the NAFI, you know, we could shop in, and everything was just like military. But I thought, well, like Alison, then Alison, when was she born? Wait a minute, I'm leaving out something, I'm sure, yeah. No, because Alison was born in Edinburgh after, wait a minute, there's a bit missing here. Where did we go first? Did we go to Bratislava first? Maybe it was...
Yes, I think you said you
yes,
went to
I
Bratislava
think it was,
first.
God, I'm getting it muddled
yes,
up.
It's
I'm
right.
sure
You're
that's right.
Tired.
We went to Bratislava and we stayed there for 4 years. But in the end, Donald was shot at by a Hungarian, and that's why I don't like the Hungarians even now.
And why was he shot?
Well, God knows, but I think they suspected that he was a spy, because at that time we could go to Vienna quite easily.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just, you went to Vienna just like you're going from here to Glasgow. It was very near.
Right.
And it was just before Christmas, so Donald decided he would just pay a visit to Vienna and get some Christmas shopping done. And when he came back, I was actually in the kitchen baking Christmas biscuits, you know, and we had a little dog. And suddenly I heard the dog running away to the door, and I said, what's going on? I was alone with the children. They were asleep. And when I went to the door, there was a guy having the gun in his hand and had shot Donald. And Donald was just dragging himself in back into the house, and he said, you've got to do a tourniquet. And I didn't have a notion what a tourniquet is, but I soon found out, and then I immediately phoned up a friend of ours, a surgeon, Slovak, and told him that Donald had been shot at. Oh, he said, I'll send an ambulance right away. Took him to the hospital and dealt with him as best he could. But he said, there's a bullet in his groin, really, and I can't remove that. It's too dangerous, you know. Very, very nice man. Good old friend. And then the consul, he lived very near us, so I phoned him, and he came up straight away and stayed with me. And, well, Donald was in hospital there for a fortnight.
And the man who, this Hungarian...
And the man, this Hungarian...
Did he run away?
Well, of course, he ran off, but I recognized him. I knew that he was coming to our house, to the woman who lived below us, like a soup kitchen, you know, eating every day. So they said, oh, we'll have to have a parade and bring all the guys and let you see which one, and I pointed them out straight away, I knew. So then there were all sorts of funny things, like, well, I said, you know, I can't stay by myself in this house if it's so dangerous. And they said, no, we'll send some guards for you. When I was out in the night to the loo, I discovered that it was soldiers, you know, and there were Russian books. What are you reading? I said, and when they showed me it was Russian, I said, God, I said to the police, I don't want Russian soldiers outside my door, you know, you have to take them away. And they said, no, we'll send police. So then they sent police. And then in the end, and that's all near Christmas. And we had very good colleague friends who lived in a tiny flat with two children. And they said, oh, you just have to come to us, you know, for Christmas. We can't leave you here. So I went with the kids, with Kirsten and Keith. And they had two small children and in this tiny flat. And we spent Christmas there. And then I'm probably leaving things out. Then the ambassador from Prague decided he would come down and see what was going on, you know. So he came and had to give them a big dinner and British Council people. And they all said, well, you can't stay here. You'll have to go home. And so we had to up sticks and I had to pack up everything. And we went back to Britain. And
Donald still had the bullet.
Yes, he still had the bullet. And when we got to, then they said, oh, don't talk to anybody. You know, when you get to London, there'll be, the press will be there, and don't talk to them. Just forget about it. Just go on. So then we went on, and of course, when we got to Glasgow, the Blumen Press had been to Donald's mother and told her, and of course she was terrified what had happened. Poor thing. But where was his father? Had he died in the meantime? I don't think his father was there. Anyway, so that was pretty bad, really bad. But anyway, the British Council said, okay, you can't go abroad now, you've got to stay put. And luckily, when he went to the hospital, I mean, Donald had just friends everywhere. The main surgeon in the hospital in Glasgow was an old chum of his. So he said, oh, I'll remove that bullet. It was in his groin. And he took it out, and then Donald recovered. And so what did we do after that? Well, we went back to Arran, where we had the friends.
A safer place.
Safer place. And, and Alison was a baby. And then in the farm, we said, oh, we'll not stay in the house. So we camped with Alison. And, when Alison was born, that was terrible too. Well, I was pregnant then with Alison. And went to the hospital, and that was terrible. Keith was an awful cheeky boy when he was little, you know, and there are all sorts of stories about that, you know. He climbed out on the roof, and I had to beg him to come back in again because, I mean, he would have fallen over the side. And then we were invited to a cousin of Donald's who lived in Edinburgh. And we went to this very nice tea party with all his cousins and aunties and everybody. And Keith, he was two then, he said to the people, well, of course, he said, I came out of my mummy's tummy. He was born in Bratislava, you see. But I think this one will come out of my daddy's. He said, you know, I'd done enough.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, he was funny. And so I went to hospital
in
to
Glasgow.
Have Alison in Edinburgh.
Right.
We were by this time. And we lived already in the flat that we lived until we came to this one. So we haven't lived in many different houses, which was right on top of a tenement building here in Edinburgh. Very nice flat. And it was very difficult to get any help. But I had a Czech girl at one point, and then I had a Danish au pair girl, and she was completely, really cuckoo. So I phoned her father one day. I said, look, I can't cope with this anymore. You'll have to get Annie back. She's... Well, that's why she sent that to you. Well, I said, I don't want her. Anyway, Alison was born, and she was... The birth was not particularly difficult or anything, But immediately, I had a very nice young doctor, girl. And she, after Alison was born, she came to me and she said, you know, I've got sad news. Alison was born with a blood disease, and we had to change her blood completely. So you can't nurse her, you can't even go and see her. And then Donald came, and they would let him see her. And then the big white chief came from the hospital, and he stood at my bedside, and I'll never forget this. And he said to me, "Does the woman know?" And luckily, this young doctor was there. "Yes," she said, "of course I told her all about it." Well, so that was okay. So amazingly, within a week, Alison was okay. You know, they really took good care of her there and completely changed her blood. And we went back home. And so then she grew up into a very jolly, nice baby. And Donald was very good. We had this great big pram, and we lived on the top floor of a building. We had to shake this pram down every day. But, you know, that was 2 years we were there in this building. And actually, an old friend of Kirsten's, she's just coming in a few days to see us. She's always been a friend, you know, made lots of connections.